solution. How exactly we can apply this solution in our life? So these will be the four aspects of our topic of discussion today. The problem, the cause, the solution and the application. The problem part I will divide into two parts. First is that we will define the problem and also describe the effects which this problem has on people. So generally, fear is defined as an unpleasant sensation caused by nearness to some uncomfortable situation or pain. There are various quotations from different philosophers and thinkers, and I would like to share five of them with you. These are some interesting quotes on fear. Fear is compared to a dark room where negatives are developed. Fear is also sometimes expanded as false evidence appearing real, F-E-A-R. False evidence, but which appears real. Or sometimes, fear is explained as the interest which you pay on money you have never borrowed. You have never borrowed a money, but you are paying interest on that. So that means you are worrying about some event which has never taken place. I generally give the example that many of you must have heard the Ramayana. And in Ramayana there is this incident of all the monkey soldiers assisting Lord Ram. So these monkey soldiers once got together and decided that all of these human beings, they perform Ekadashi Vrat. So we will also perform Ekadashi. That means no eating. So all of them got together on the day of Ekadashi with the full conviction, we will do Ekadashi today. Suddenly one of the monkeys said, now today is Ekadashi, we are fasting. But tomorrow we have to break the fast. And for breaking the fast, we need to climb the tree and pluck the fruit. But just imagine, after doing this fast, we will have no energy left to climb the tree. Then how we will break the fast? So someone suggested, okay, good idea. So let us climb the tree and sit there. So they climbed the tree and sat there. Second monkey said, today is Ekadashi, we are fasting. But because of fasting, we will have no strength remaining even if we are sitting on tree and we want to pluck the fruit. Maybe we won't have the strength to pluck the fruit tomorrow. Better pluck the fruit and keep. So on that suggestion, they plucked the fruit and kept it. Third fellow said, who knows? We may be so weak that the arms will not have sufficient strength to go up to the mouth because the fruit is so heavy. So better you take the fruit and keep it in the mouth to be on safe side. So on that advice, they took the fruit and put it on the mouth. Another fellow said, who knows, we will have strength to chew or not. So better let us chew and keep it. Pada rahega andar. So on that advice, they started chewing. So finally fifth one said, we already chewed, might as well eat it only. So that was the end of their Ekadashi. Their whole plan began very wonderfully, but because they started thinking, worrying and paying interest on money they had never borrowed, this was the consequence. Or fear is sometimes defined as the tax which conscience pays to guilt. Or fear is compared sometimes to a noose which binds till it strangles. And in this way, fear has been a subject matter of great thought from time immemorial. and specifically because of the effects it has had on people. So four kinds of effects we would like to discuss on how this fear affects people. First is the physical effects. When you're influenced by fear, all kinds of physical changes start taking place. The heartbeat increases, you start getting palpitations, you start perspiring, the blood pressure goes up, the glands are affected. All different parts of the body are influenced in negative ways, and because of fear, a whole range of diseases manifest. Secondly, the social effects of fear are such that it results in two very grave consequences. First is hate, and it affects relationships. Fear influences relationships in a way that when you start fearing someone, you actually start hating him. When you start fearing a situation, the nature of fear is, in due course of time, you will hate that situation. So hate is the direct consequence of fear. If it is a family relationship, a child is afraid of the father, in due course of time, he will hate the father. In a social relationship, if you are fearing some friend, in due course of time you will start hating him. If an employee is fearing his boss, he will start hating him in due course of time. An employee went to his boss and said, "I want to resign. So you give me a certificate that I have worked with you for 10 years. Boss said, "How is it possible? You have worked only 6 months and you are asking for a certificate of 10 years? And the fellow said, "Working with you for 6 months was equal to working for 10 years. It was so anxious for me. So better give me 10 years working experience, because for me it was most traumatic." When you fear someone, you will hate him in due course of time. And the second aspect of fear is lie. Because of the kind of social structure we have, because we are fearful of maintaining our status quo, we will resort to all kinds of lying and cheating practices in order to maintain our position in society. And we can see that it happens all the time. We feel that people perceive us in a certain way, and we want to maintain that. And then in order to keep up a certain image, we may spread around rumors which may not be facts. We may try to express things in a way which are higher than what the reality is all about. The third aspect of fear is in the work culture. In work culture, because of influence of fear, because one may fear that there is so much of pressure on me, one ultimately becomes overwhelmed, and this results in complete inaction and stagnation. One actually stagnates and stops performing work because he is overwhelmed by the fact that if I am not able to perform, what will happen? If I am not able to achieve these targets, what will happen? If I fail an exam, what will happen? If I fail an exam, everyone will criticize me. Then I will become morose, I will become depressed, I will go to psychiatrist, take some pills, and ultimately I will die. So better stop studying now. Because that fear is so overwhelming that one actually becomes inactive. And this is the influence in the work culture. And therefore many times one should realize that one should stop worrying so much about what others are thinking of me or us, because we should know that they are equally worried about what you are thinking of them. So in that sense, one can stop this worrying business. And the fourth aspect is the emotional aspect. And fear is compared to a stream of very deadly, dangerous thoughts which appear like a trickle but create such a vicious channel in the mind that ultimately all the other thoughts are drained into it. And therefore, we have to be very careful about this very deadly enemy, fear. And generally, when people are overwhelmed and overcome by fear, they visit psychiatrists. And psychiatrists deal with all kinds of fearful situations and try to give some solutions. But the fact of the matter is, amongst all kinds of suicides which exist amongst professionals in the world, the highest suicide rate is among psychiatrists. So that is not a very optimistic news. And that leaves us even more in doubt. A man visited a psychiatrist and told him all of his problems. And the psychiatrist said, most of the problems you are explaining are things which have never taken place in your life. So why are you so fearful? And said, doctor, that is exactly the problem. Now I am worrying why they have not taken place in my life. That means there is no end to this worrying. There is no end to be overwhelmed by this fear. So the only way we can understand is if we establish the proper cause of this fear and give solutions based on our timeless scriptures. And therefore, we will discuss now briefly, very briefly, the main causes of this fear. And these causes of this fear is divided into two sections. One is the pathological or the root cause, and the other is symptomatic cause. Right? That means something which is the real cause, we go right into the deep rooted understanding of what this cause of fear is, and the other is symptoms as we experience it in our own life. And we will try to analyze both of these causes and see. So first is the pathological or the root cause. And the Srimad Bhagavatam 11th canto, the cause of this fear is described very graphically in one verse. Bhayam vitiya bine vishattasyat ishat apetasya viparyayo asmriti. In this one verse, there is a three-stage step to understanding the concept of fear. One experiences fear step by step when one goes through these three steps. First step is Ishad Apetasya Viparyaya. So the first step of this fear is rebellion. So the soul is considered to be part and parcel of Krishna, and when the soul rebels against Krishna and tries to take atheistic principles and deny the existence of God, that is the first step, rebellion. And there are so many philosophers who may pass off as very great thinkers, but deep down within the core of their hearts, they are actually atheists. For example, there is a great thinker, his name is Nietzsche. So during the heyday in Europe, on one big church wall, it was written in bold letters, God is dead, - Nietzsche. So next day, one of the devout Christians from the church came out, and he wrote in bold letters underneath, Nietzsche is dead, God. We may try to deny the existence of God, but ultimately we cannot deny it because He is there for real. Just like if an eagle while flying on top of the sky sees so many cows and cattle grazing, and the eagle can only feast on dead carcass and not on live animals. So it is called Shakuni Shape Goru Marana Jai. If the eagle says, may the cow die, let the cattle die. Why? Because he wants to feast. That is not going to result in the cattle dying. So this is the first principle, that one goes against God, rebellion. The second principle is forgetfulness. As soon as there is rebellion against Krishna, Ishat apetasya viparyaya asmriti. There is forgetfulness of the soul's real identity as part and parcel of Krishna. There is forgetfulness of the fact that we are servants of God. Our constitutional position and nature is to serve God. We forget that. And because of that forgetfulness, we are overwhelmed by all kinds of material situations. And the soul receives different kinds of bodies. So this forgetfulness of the soul is the second stage. The first stage is rebellion, and this leads to forgetfulness. Just like in Bengal, one sannyasi, ISKCON sannyasi, visited a printing press. And in that printing press, our Prabhupada's books had been given for printing. So he also saw that in the printing press, there were some question papers of school children being printed. So he just saw one of the question papers of what is being taught in schools and colleges. And one of the questions was written, Tomar ki porichoy? What is your identity? It was in Bengali. What is your identity? Who are you? So the sannyasi asked the teacher, who was also standing there, Now, what answer do you expect for this question? Who are you? Or what is your identity? So teacher said, the answers we typically expect is, I'm an Indian, or I'm a Bengali, I'm a male, or I'm a student. All of these answers get full marks. So then the sannyasi said, what if he says, I'm Krishna's servant, I'm Dasanudas, I'm part and parcel of Krishna. If he writes this, teacher said, zero marks. No marks for this. Why? Because this is not considered at all. And therefore, this is the second aspect. As soon as there is rebellion, there is forgetfulness. And after forgetfulness comes misidentification. Dvitiya abhiniveshata. That means to be absorbed in something which is different from Krishna. Dvitiya means that which is different from Krishna, and that refers to material energy, material nature. That is called dvitiya. So as soon as you move away from spiritual energy, move away from God, you have to be caught in matter. So based on your certain principles of desires, you are given a certain body, a certain identity, and you start identifying, I am human being, I am male, I am cat, I am dog. That is called misidentification. And you start seeing the world accordingly. Like for example, if there is a road which has so many lampposts and a garbage dump. So human beings, they will make a map saying that lamppost, 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 garbage dump. But if a crow sees it, when the crow sees, he doesn't see it as lamppost. He will think airport, 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 restaurant, from his point of view. If a dog sees, he will see toilet, 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 supermarket. So he has a different way of looking, the same reality because of his way of identification. That is called Ishat Apetasya Viparyaya Dvitiya. Dvitiya means having faith in something which is different from the real principles. Therefore, the word used is dvitiya abhinivesha. So try to understand this principle. Abhinivesha means complete absorption. So although we are originally soul, because we have rebelled against Krishna, we have forgotten Krishna, we have become completely absorbed and engrossed in our false identity, dvitiya. And we are thinking this is the real me. Just like in Odisha, somebody was telling that there was a drama troupe and they were performing various pastimes of the Lord. So there was one actor who was playing Lord Narsingadev in his role, you know, in the drama festival. And he became so absorbed in his role as Narsingadev, he actually became completely angry, and when he took Hiranyakashipu on his lap, he started really scratching that poor fellow and beating him up. And Hiranyakashipu tolerated for some time and thought that maybe he is getting too much. And when he found that Narsingadev is becoming too dangerous, he got up and ran away. Now everyone started chastising this Narsingadev and saying that, you can't behave like this, come on. He said, I became absorbed. But then that was not the end of it. Next year, during Ram Leela, he was given the role of Dasharath. And everyone said, let us see whether that was acting or not. So when he was playing the role of Dasharath, when Ramchandraji left for the forest, this fellow actually fainted and fell on the ground. For real. That was the extent of his absorption in that role. So the soul has become abhinivesha, completely absorbed, thinking that this is my identity. So you may think, what is the problem in being absorbed? Come on, we are trying our level best. And I thought I am not being able to become absorbed. I am being distracted. The problem is, if you become absorbed in your material identity, you will get bhayam, fear. Because this body and material nature is always giving us various kinds of troubles, various kinds of attacks, various kinds of adidaivik, adibhautik, adhyatmik kleshas. So this results in bhayam or fear. This is the main root cause of fear. According to the supreme most authoritative scripture available in the entire planet, the Srimad Bhagavatam. Now as far as the symptomatic causes are concerned, the kind of causes which we see in our daily life, that is the second part of the cause. So first we have discussed the pathological cause, now we will come to the symptomatic cause. And the symptomatic cause of fear, I would put it in this way, is the gap which is created between expectation and reality. All of us have a certain expectation, and then all of us face a certain reality. And when you see that gap creates fear. And therefore, in the Shastras, there is a very nice description of 9 types of fears which all of us experience because of this gap. And it is described, bhoge roga bhayam kule chuti bhayam vitte nripalad bhayam mane dainya bhayam bale ripu bhayam rupe jaraya bhayam shastre vadi bhayam khale guna bhayam kaye kritantad bhayam sarvam vastu bhayam idam bhuvindranam vairagyameva bhayam. 9 types of fears are described, and it is mentioned how all of us experience these fears. Bhogi roga bhayam. All of us are healthy and we expect to remain healthy, but there is always a reality of disease. Deadly diseases looming large above our heads, destroying our life, creating trouble for us, smashing all our plans to pieces. Bhogi roga bhayam. There is always a great fear of disease. One of the biggest multimillionaires in the US was owner of the Boeing company. He had so much of wealth, so much of estate at his disposal. But at a certain point of time, he developed a very severe type of urinary tract infection. And because of that, he would feel excruciating pain while responding to nature's call. So one time a reporter approached him and asked him that, "Sir, now you have everything which anyone can hope for. You have made it in life. You have wealth, you have prestige, you have property. Your businesses are flourishing. What is it that is uppermost in your mind now?" And he said, "The thing which is uppermost in my mind is when I am going to toilet next. Because when I go, I will experience great pain. That is the only thing I can think of." A very famous sports star, basketball star, he was so famous, so rich, attracted the attention and the hearts of millions of fans all over the world. He was making millions of dollars through endorsements of sports products and other things. Sponsors were behind him. He was practically on all the ads. Whenever he would be playing, the stadiums would fill up just to see him in action. People would be coming from far and wide to just be able to touch him sometime. If they could touch him, they would consider that their life is successful. Some of them would try to pull some hair from his head sometime, keep it as remnants, prasad. This kind of worship he was receiving, and one fine day, because he had a voracious sex appetite, he was indulging heavily in illicit sex, and because of that, it was revealed that he has AIDS. His popularity declined, all of the sports sponsors backed away, and the wealth and the enormous amounts of earning which he had started dwindling. Roga bhayam. There was a very famous dancer. She was so famous for her beautiful dancing that people consider her one of the greatest dancers of this century. And she was also attracting attention of so many people. And one fine day it was revealed that she has diabetes. And then the diabetes started spreading and it affected her legs. And the doctor said, "The legs have to be amputated, otherwise she cannot survive." No legs means no dancing. At least I am not aware of any system. And then ultimately she was completely angry, hopeless, lost and frustrated. So in this way, there are so many persons who make it big, but then suddenly a deadly disease attacks. We have a certain expectation, harsh reality faces us, and we are not able to do anything. You must have heard of Superman, Chris Reeve. He was so powerful, so famous, people all over the world were worshipping him. And then one fine day in 1995, he was riding on a horse, fell off from the horse, broke his spine. And from 1995 till date, he has not been able to get up. What to speak of jump and cross continents. So in real life, things are different. Therefore, bhogi roga bhayam. We may be healthy today, but there is always a fear of deadly disease attacking. We have a certain expectation, the reality can be totally different, and that gap creates fear. Kule chuti bhayam. The second type of fear is related to family insecurities, especially related to children and wife and husband and things like that. So first kind of bhayam related to kule chuti is that a family is there, and then there is a fear whether I will get a son or not, whether I will get children or not. And in 6th canto Srimad Bhagavatam, the story of Chitraketu Maharaj is described. He had such an intense desire to get a son. He had 1 crore wives. And he had practically so much of wealth at his disposal, but he was totally frustrated because he did not have a child. And the example he gives to Angira Rishi is that I have everything which anyone can hope for. I have all facilities to enjoy. But I am totally miserable. Just like a man who has just performed fasting. And he is given everything else except water. If you have performed fasting, many devotees perform fasting, and on 11th of this month, Pandav Nirjal Ekadashi is coming. That means full day one does not take water till the next day morning. So you do not take any water at all, and next day morning you are ready to break the fast. And then you go to the Prasadam hall expecting that now I will break the fast. There is a big jar of nice cool lemon water ready, and there is a person serving, and he asks you, please have a seat, sir. So you sit down, you have a glass, everything is ready, and this person, who the server, comes to you, offers his obeisances, full prostrated obeisances, vancha kalpataru bhyasta kripa sindhu bevacha, said, thank you, bring the water, Prabhu. You want the water? Then he says, just a minute, brings a nice flower garland and puts it on you. You have performed the fasting successfully. Let me glorify you. And he puts this garland on you. And you are tolerating. Said, thank you. Now expecting water will come. He goes, gets some chandan and puts chandan. He said, I don't need this cooling, I need this cooling. And then he goes, gets a nice chadar and then puts it around you. That please accept this chadar. And you will explode. I don't want chadar, my father. Please give me water. I want immediately some water. Because at that time, all the other pleasures are available. But if you don't get water, you won't be satisfied. That is the nature of desires. When you have certain expectation, till that specific expectation is fulfilled, all the others cannot make you happy and feel pleasurable. Nor the memories of previous expectations fulfilled can make you feel satisfied. So kule chuti bhaya means that not getting a son. And the other fear is getting a son but losing the son, like Rockefeller. Such a rich, powerful person that even the presidents of the United States would be consulting him. He had one son. And this one son went to do some study on cannibals in Hawaii Islands. He reached the islands before his post of guards could catch up with him. The cannibals caught him, chopped him to pieces, ate him. The news was relayed back to Rockefeller. He was so totally depressed, he appeared on CNN and said, let me tell all of you citizens of United States, you may be wanting to be wealthy, rich, famous. I have all of these things. I have more than what so many generations of you cannot even imagine to have. But now let me assure you that from this point onwards till the day I die, I will be a totally miserable person, not having a single moment of peace. Kule chuti bhayam. There was a very famous entertainer, comedian in US. He was entertaining masses and very, very popular. Any political situation or social situation would be subject matter for him to create a new joke. And he was so popular with the masses that gradually he attracted the attention of the politicians, of the film stars, and he was moving in very high circles. There was great demand for him. And then he started performing these kind of seminars for relieving stress. Stressed up corporate executives would call him, and he would make them laugh for 1 hour. And he would be paid an enormous amount of fees for this. He became very successful, very popular. But he had one 12-year-old daughter. He was very attached to his daughter. And this 12-year-old daughter of his died suddenly because of some disease. And he could not do anything. This was a great tragedy in his life. After that, his life was never the same again. Every time he would go and try to entertain, the memories of his daughter would be clouding his brain and he would not be able to perform properly because he was crying within. How can you give joy to others if you are yourself in distress? And then one time with very senior level ministers, there was a program arranged and he was sitting and giving this performance, and he was so overwhelmed by the thoughts of his daughter that in the middle of the performance he broke down and started crying bitterly like a child. And that was the end of his career. Kule Chuti Bhayam. Jai Shri Radha Gopinath Ji ki, Sri Nitai Gaur Chandra ki, Girdhari Gopal ki. There is another type of fear related to family, and that is related to Krishna consciousness. And that is, if some family members start accepting Krishna consciousness seriously, then other members feel that very soon there will be loss. May not be physical loss, but at least a total emotional loss and loss to the family. And that is also a kind of kule chuti bhayam, a fear that we will lose our son. He will die. If he goes to Hare Krishna movement, he will die. He is finished. Right? Generally anyone smokes and drinks, nobody says so much. I have seen so many families. I have seen my friend's family. He started smoking and his father said, "No problem, beta. Smoke only filter cigarette. And don't smoke BDs." But when you start taking to Krishna consciousness seriously, there is fear. If husband starts taking seriously, wife may start fearing. The child starts taking seriously, parents may start fearing, because they feel there will be a loss. Kule Chuti. Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur gives a nice story in this regard. Interesting story. He says how in one family there was always a conflict between husband and wife, because husband was totally devoted to sadhus and wife could not tolerate sadhus at all. She would start boiling. When husband would see saffron, he would offer full obeisances and worship, and wife would see saffron, it was just like, you know, bull seeing red. She would want to attack. So one day the husband was away and many sadhus came to the house expecting to meet the husband. And the wife became very angry. "So many have come together. Today I will teach a lesson." So they came and sat down and she said, "Please have a seat. I'll just arrange something for you." She went inside the kitchen and brought the tongs which is used for turning chapatis, chimta. And she brought that and started keeping under the sofa. And the sadhus were bewildered and they said, "What are you doing, madam? What are you doing? You're supposed to be cooking with this. Why you're hiding it?" Said, "No, nothing. Nothing to fear for you. But I'll just mention one thing, that my husband, he cannot tolerate sadhus at all. Anytime sadhus come to the house, he takes these tongs, heats it over the fire, comes out and catches the sadhu's nose and turns it like this. But nothing to fear, he is not there anyway. And if he comes back home, he won't be able to find the tongs because I'm hiding. You relax." Now who can relax after hearing that? So they got up and started walking out. They just excused themselves, said, "Mataji will come some other time. Today is not auspicious. Today we are fasting actually." So they just started walking out. Husband started entering. He saw the sadhus moving out. And he was surprised. Asked his wife, "Why are these sadhus going?" And she said, "What to do? What strange sadhus they are. They came to me and asked, can I have your chapati making tongs? Is this something to beg for?" I said, "No, you cannot have. We want to use it in our house." So I said, "You can't have it." So they have gone. Husband said, "What? This insignificant chapati making tongs you cannot give in donation? What kind of miserly person you are? I will give it to them." So he took the chapati tongs in his hand and started moving out, running behind them. "Hello sir, please take these tongs." And the sadhus looked back and saw that he is coming running with the tongs. And they felt, "My God, the wife was true." They ran. And Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur says that generally in family situations or in social situations, this kind of conflicting situations may arise where one member is inclined and other member feels fearful of a loss. And many times, especially for practically practicing devotees, this is a very great threat. So, kule chuti bhayam. When Prabhupada was preaching in the West, there were two brothers, Brahmananda Prabhu and Garga Muni Prabhu. Both of them became Hare Krishna devotees. So their mother came to talk to Prabhupada. And she approached Prabhupada and said, "What is this, Swamiji? You have taken both my sons. What is this going on?" So Prabhupada said, "Actually, I have not done anything. Your two sons were hippies and they were roaming on the streets. So I brought them from the streets, started feeding them. I gave them all clothes. I gave them nice service. I am actually housing them in my temple, taking care of their maintenance. So rather than complaining, you should actually giving me donation for maintaining your son." And the mother was bewildered because she didn't expect this kind of a response. So she said, "But Swamiji, I have already donated my sons." Prabhupada said, "Thank you very much." "Thank you very much." So Prabhupada was very expert in dealing with situations like this. So it's a fact that if you take the Krishna consciousness or God consciousness or spirituality seriously, do not expect that all will be pleased and do not expect that everyone will understand everything immediately. So kule chuti bhayam, there is fear of some kind of incompatible situation arising in family life. Vitte nripalat bhayam, and for someone who has wealth, he is afraid of losing that wealth. He is fearful. The example of Dr. Cooley is very prominent. Powerful surgeon, earning thousands of dollars every day. He invested all of his money in some stocks and shares, lost all the money. It was such a shock for him, he developed nervous palpitations. He had a total nervous breakdown. He lost control over his hands and his hands started shaking. How can he perform operations in this situation? We are always fearful of situations that even though I have so much of money, anytime I can lose the money, and that fear is there. And many times the fear is so prominent that one is afraid even to spend any money. There's a great fear even in trying to spend the money. And generally I tell this story that in Vishnu Puran it is discussed that one time there was this very, very miserly person who would not want to spend any money for anything. And he had an old father. He left his body. So the son took the father's body to the bank of the Ganges and he thought, "Who will do the last rites?" Last rites means Pandit will come. He will charge Dakshina. So much of expenditure. Better I put him in the Ganges. Ma, Ganga Ma, she will take care. Who can take care better than Ma? So he decided to put the body in Mother Ganges. As he was about to do, because he had worshipped Lord Vishnu before, Lord Vishnu personally appeared, disguised as a Brahman to test him. And he said, "Sir, please don't do like this. Only last rites have to be performed. I will just take 125 rupees. Please give me and I will perform the last rites." He said, "Throughout my life I have not spent so much. and you want me to perform last rites, you will perform last rites and pay you impossible. So he started bargaining. The bargaining began, and ultimately it was settled that he will perform the last rites for 1 rupee 25 paise. So he agreed, he performed the last rites. After performing last rites, the Brahman said, "So you give me my dakshina?" He said, "Actually this is inauspicious period. This is cremation ground. Nothing can be given. Ashubh. So you come to my house after 12-13 days, when the inauspicious period is over, I'll give you." So the Brahman came, knocked on the house, wife opened, said, "I've come to take that dakshina." Told the husband, husband said, "Tell him I'm not there." Told, husband is not there. Brahman said, "No problem, I will wait." Again went inside, he's waiting. Husband said, "Go and tell him I'm sick. He has returned but he is very sick." Said, "Sir, my husband is very sick." Said, "No problem, I will wait. Till he is cured, I will wait." Again went and told the husband, "He is not going, he is saying he will wait." So the miser became so desperate, he told the wife, "Break your bangles, remove your kumkum, and go and tell him, husband has died. And then how he will take the money?" So she went, started crying and said, "My husband has died." The Brahman said, "No problem, I did the last rites of your father-in-law, I can do the last rites for him also. So please take me inside, I will do the last rites, let us go." And finally the Brahman was taken and they started making preparations for last rites. And till then he was still acting as if he is dead. And then when the fire came, this fellow just jumped up and started running away. And Lord Vishnu at that time in the form of Brahman became so amused by this scene that how can someone be so attached to money to this extent that he can go to this extent to play act like this. He started laughing and laughing and laughing. And that miser stopped. Lord Vishnu said, "I am so pleased with you because you have made me laugh like anything with your miserliness. Now you ask any benediction." And the miser said, "Please forgive that 1 rupee 25 paise. That is the only thing I ask." This is the extent of miserliness. Vitten Ripalat, one becomes so attached to wealth, one considers that to be be-all and end-all. And therefore, there is always a gap between expectation and reality. And one can never be satisfied on this front. Mane dainya bhayam, if someone has been respected, dishonor is worse than death. And there are so many examples we can quote. Best days of Napoleon, he was the king, emperor. He conquered over practically the whole world. But in the last days he was put in Saint Helena. And then the English soldiers, they came and he would ask him, "Who are you?" And he would say, "I am Napoleon, the emperor." So they would put a sword on his neck and tell him, "Open your mouth." And they would have a glass of horse urine and they would make him drink that. Such infamy, such kind of insult for someone who has been the emperor. Richard Nixon, he was elected as the president and then he had to leave because of the Watergate scandal, because everyone found out that he has been cheating during the election campaign. Reporter asked him 10 years later, "What has been your experience after Watergate scandal?" And Nixon said, "From the day I have been kicked out of the office of the most powerful man in the whole planet Earth, I have not been able to sleep a single night." That is what a person goes through when he is insulted. Mane dainya bhayam, bale ripu bhayam. If someone is powerful, he is afraid of someone more powerful coming and defeating. And so many examples are there. We have the example of this most powerful emperor, Alexander. He was conquering practically over the entire planet Earth. And then he reached India. And he was actually in one sense fearless. But he defeated all of the kings coming across Asia, but when he came to India, he could not advance further because practically whole of his army was afflicted by malaria. And he also started dying because of that. And he pleaded with the doctors, "Help me, do something. I have defeated so many enemies. But what about this?" And the doctor said, "We can't do anything." So it's a fact that what so many world armies could not do, Indian mosquitoes did. Defeated Napoleon's army. And he felt so bad that I am being defeated, I am so powerful, I am Alexander the Great, but I have to retreat back. And then it is described, Shastri Rupe Jaraya Bhayam. Someone who is very beautiful is afraid of the onset of old age or loss of that beauty. And the example is Brigitte Bardot. She was so beautiful actress, the whole world practically was charmed by her beauty. But the first trace of white hair she saw, and she locked herself completely, never to come out in public again. That is the extent of her fear. What will people think if I come out in public like this? There was another beautiful actress. She was getting all kinds of offers, so much of wealth, prestige. But then once during a photo session shoot, she was raped by her photographer. And it was such a traumatic event for her that she went on overeating. And she lost her form. And because of that, she was totally depressed and overwhelmed and confused. Shastre Vadi Bhayam. Someone has an idea, he is afraid of someone coming up with a more brilliant idea and defeating my idea. Edison, you know, made this bulb. He also invented the DC current. And there was a scientist at that time who was instrumental in creating the AC current. Edison tried his level best to make sure that the AC current does not become prominent. So he actually started propaganda against the AC current. But in due course of time, truth prevailed. And he could not do anything. There is always fear that someone more prominent, more powerful, with greater ideas and better inventions, may become prominent. Khale Gunabhayam. Someone is a hypocrite, has his agenda, not having the truth and genuine spirit, is always afraid of being exposed in face of someone very genuine. Like for example, one sannyasi, our ISKCON sannyasi, he met a philosopher, and this philosopher was preaching left, right and center about different aspects of God and how that is the only way which is presenting. That is the only way, no other way can work. And then our devotee was trying to explain to him in so many ways, and it was a long debate for over 2 hours. And then finally, this philosopher became exasperated and he said, "Actually, to tell you the truth, I don't believe in God at all. Actually, to tell you the truth, I am an atheist." So the sannyasi said then, "What about all of this speaking which you are doing?" He said, "That is my occupation. And what about all of these books which you are referring to and presenting and people are buying?" He said, "That is also my occupation. And what about your debating and trying to convert me?" He said, "That is my entertainment. So actually I don't have much faith in all of these things." So many times you may have people who are expressing views and opinions which they themselves don't believe in. And therefore they are always fearful of meeting someone who have complete conviction and faith in certain philosophy which they are also practicing in toto without any duplicity. And therefore this has to be understood. And last is Kaye Kritantat Bhayam. The 9th type of fear is everyone who has this body is afraid of losing that body, of death. Kaye Kritantat Bhayam, the fear of death. You have heard of the famous cartoon personality, Walt Disney, right, who made all of these different things. So what happened was, he was quite afraid of death. And so he made an arrangement with some scientists. And the scientists came and said that we are just doing research on how after death you can be revived. And we are just in the last stages of our research. So Walt Disney said, this is very good. So as soon as your research is complete, what you should do is, you take my body and do the necessary things and bring it back to life after I die. Scientist said, yes, we will do it, definitely. It will only cost $10 million. So he paid them $10 million. They made a certain kind of freezing arrangement where they would keep that body till the research was complete. So $10 million was paid. Walt Disney died after a few days. He was put in that deep freeze. The body was put in the deep freeze. After some days, the relatives, they started discussing amongst themselves that if this scientist actually becomes successful and Walt Disney comes back to life, all the money we have received in inheritance will go back. So what we should do is, we should convince these scientists to stop their research. So they took another $10 million and gave it to the scientists and said, just forget this whole business. So they switched off that machine. So they earned a cool $20 million on just switching on and switching off the machine and not having any research at all, because it's not possible. But just by playing upon people's fears, so many can make money. So in fact, this phenomena is responsible for a multi-million dollar industry. Because people are afraid of growing old, of not looking good, so cosmetic industry is running, right? If people lose fear of losing hair, right, how will the hair oils and shampoos and all these other things, how will that be marketed? Is it not? Like if everyone becomes like this, and then naturally so many companies will have to close down. But because there is fear, this is going to happen, that is going to happen, take this, buy this, so things are going on. So in short, this is a general description of the various types of fears which is caused because of a gap between expectation and reality. So first we have discussed the problem, and secondly we have discussed causes, and in causes we have discussed two parts, the pathological root cause and the other is the symptomatic cause. And now we'll come to the third part, and that is the solution part. And the solution is also at two levels. At the pathological level, it is at controlling the mind, making the mind flexible. And at the symptomatic level, it is at decreasing or eliminating the gap between expectation and reality. So you have a certain expectation and there is a certain reality which you face. That gap creates fear. Reality is not in your control, but the expectation is within your control. Have high expectations, but be flexible when your expectations are not met. Just like a yo-yo, you know a yo-yo, it's a kind of an instrument which is attached to a string. It goes to any extent, but then ultimately comes back. Or like a rubber ball, it may fall on the ground, but again bounces up. So it is all a matter of how you perceive situations in life as regards to your expectations. A kite never rises with the wind, it rises against the wind. And therefore, if you are facing situations of great fear which is troubling you, you are experiencing trauma, so you should know that our situation is just like a man who is sleeping and in his dream he is seeing that a tiger is chasing him. If you are being chased by a tiger in a dream, what can be done? If you are being chased by a tiger in real life, at least someone can help and chase the tiger with a stick or shoot the tiger or do something. If you are sleeping and you are turning left and right and you are perspiring completely and everyone is seeing that you are in trauma because you are seeing the tiger, that you are running and running and running and the tiger is behind you. The tiger has the face of your boss or it has the face of your professor whom you hate. Body is that of tiger and you feel, oh my God, when will this end? So how can anyone else help you? Your friend cannot go to sleep next to you and enter into your dream. Nor can someone come with a stick and sit on top of you and start hitting your head. The only help which can be given to a sleeping person who is fearful of the tiger chasing him in the dream is wake him up. No other way. Wake him up. Understand the illusory nature of these fears. And therefore the solution which we are recommending is of four types. The first is chanting of the holy names. Apanna samsmritim ghoram yannama vivashagrinan janah sadyo vimucheta yat bibheti swayam bhayam. A person who is caught in the meshes of birth and death can be immediately released by the chanting of the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. This chanting of the holy names is so powerful that immediately it will create a transformation from within.